Until we meet again, we're going to put our little records away, and we're going to have a little bit of a chat here coming up in the Morning Show studios on WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin. It is 56 degrees at 9 o'clock. This hour's news update from ABC is sponsored by the Phoenix Center. Family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres talking about ongoing conflicts as he gavels the General Assembly to order in New York.
The state of our world is unsustainable. We can't go on like these.
President Biden preparing to deliver his final address to the United Nations General Assembly convening in New York. The autumn push in the presidential race is in full force. ABC's Rachel Scott covering it all.
We are officially 6 weeks out from the November election today, and polls show that this race is tighter than ever, with both sides really trying to make up for any lost ground. So former President Donald Trump continuing his blitz across the battleground states, as the New York Times reports that Vice President Kamala Harris plans to visit our southern border on Friday during a planned visit to Arizona. It comes as polls show that Donald Trump is ahead in that state by 5 points.
A tropical system could become Hurricane Helene, lashing the Cayman Islands, could be headed towards Florida's northern Gulf Coast. This is ABC News. Percent. Several people arrested in Switzerland in connection with what's being called the new suicide capsule. ABC's Tom Rivers has a story from the foreign desk.
Several people have been detained in what appears to be an assisted suicide case after the so-called Sarko capsule has been used for the first time. The unit is designed to allow a person inside to push a button that injects nitrogen gas into the sealed chamber. The person is then supposed to fall asleep and die by suffocation in a few minutes. Charges are pending. Prosecutors have opened an investigation on suspicion of incitement and of being an accessory to suicide. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
Artificial intelligence helping to uncover some ancient history in South America. Researchers now say they were able to use AI to discover hundreds of large-scale ancient drawings in the Peruvian desert. They have been linked to the Nazca culture and were created around 2,000 years ago. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The old saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same, sure applies to the Phoenix Center. The bowling alley has been the go-to for good times and great food for generations in Richland County. It's where good friends become better friends and good times become awesome memories. From a delicious pizza to bowling to a conversation over your favorite drink, the Phoenix Center in Richland Center is the right choice every time. The Phoenix Center. Call 649-7469.
The WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. Buying a home with less than 20% down is possible.
Partly sunny and mild today, a high of 70. For tonight, partly cloudy to clear and chilly, a low of 45. Wednesday, mostly sunny and warmer, a high of 74. Mostly clear and calm Wednesday night, a low of 48. Thursday, sunny and nice and 76. Partly sunny and very mild Friday and 77 degrees.
Kamala Harris on police.
It is outdated, it is wrong-headed thinking to think that the only way you're going to get communities to be safe is to put more police officers on the street.
Communities safer without police? Oh, but there's more.
For far too long, the status quo thinking has been to believe that by putting more police on the street, you're going to have more safety. And that's just wrong.
Catch that? Kamala Harris is a defund the police Democrat. And Rebecca Cook, she fits right in. She's made a career out of it. A professional political operative trusted to elect anti-law enforcement politicians across the country. Rebecca Cook even led a dark money group that supported Mandela Barnes and his defund the police agenda. That's why the liberal Democrats handpicked her. Now Cook is bankrolled by the liberal elite to help win back the House. They trust her because Rebecca Cook is a defund the police Democrat.
I'm Derek Van Orden, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the NRCC and Van Orden for Congress.
50% off savings continue at the Krogan's Hardware Liquidation Sale in Boscobel. All plumbing, power tools, electrical, furniture, 50% off. Lawn and garden, grass seed and fertilizer, hand tools, work gloves, trimmers, now all half price. Humidifiers, small appliances, grills, hunting items, and more, now all 50% off. Most rental equipment at 60% off. All appliances now priced below cost. Last call on washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, and more. All sales final, cash or credit card only. See store for exclusions. Open daily 8 to 6, Saturday 8 till 4. Krogan's Retirement Sale ends soon. Come to Boscobel and save store-wide.
No! This can't be happening. I wonder if this is covered by my insurance.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, Ryan from Julie Karen State Farm. Wow, that really works, even in radio.
Hey, Phil, what seems to be the problem?
My CD seems to have gone kaput. Is this covered in my policy?
What CD is it?
Twisted Sister.
Well, I would suggest removing that one from the policy, but yes, it is covered.
Tragedy averted. Julie Cairns, my local State Farm insurance agent, has saved the day, providing financial services, bank products, and life insurance with the most attentive customer service around. Give Julie or Ryan a call today at 647-3632.
Today's specials are country and community from the WRCO studios, sponsored by Richland Family Restaurant.
Welcome to our morning show on WRCO Radio. Today we're talking about the things going on in the Ithaca School District now that the season, the school year is well underway. And in the studio today, we have Ithaca Superintendent, Middle School, High School Principal Greg Herbst, and Lori Pizer is here, Business Manager. Plus we have some very willing students. Kaylee Newkirk is here, Izzy Ortiz, Houston Garcia Boland, and Tyler Steinmetz. So we have a studio full of friends today. And Lori, I've known you the longest, so we'll start with you, okay?
Okay.
How about that?
Sounds good.
As business manager, maybe you could describe a little bit about what you do for the district.
Oh, right now I'm working on the referendum. That's a big job, and it's new for me because I didn't do this before. So, but we're going to go up for 1.3 operational referendum for 4 years. And Ithaca has not went out for an operational referendum since 2004. And if you look at the neighboring schools, they have had more operational referendums. Like Riverdale has had 2, Richland Center 3, River Valley 4, and Weston 5 in the same time frame. So I think that shows that Ithaca has been very frugal with their spending.
Mm-hmm. Crunching the numbers and things like that, is that how you came about the number of what you're looking at borrowing then?
Well, yes. When we deficits at over $600,000 this year, we didn't have a choice. So we had to go up a referendum. So then you just get your budget together and you decide how much you need to operate. And that's how we came up with the $1.3 million.
Okay. Could you talk about a little bit of the tax impact that it would have on district taxpayers, Laura?
Sure. Community members have asked about the referendum. How will it affect me? And on a $100,000 home, your taxes would increase $14 a month, or $168 a year for the first year. The second year, the tax would increase $3.67 a month, or $44 a year. In the third year, the increase would be $2.42 a month, or $29 a year. And the fourth year increase would be $8 a month, or $1 a year. So the total tax increase on a $100,000 home over the 4 years would be $242. Community members also have been worried about their municipalities have been reassessed this year. And just because it's been reassessed doesn't automatically mean your taxes are going to increase. So if the average assessed value of your municipality increased by 50% and your property assessed value increased by 50%, generally, there would be no increase to your property taxes besides the school referendum. If your assessed value increased by 30% and the average was 50%, generally, you'd have a decrease in your taxes. And if you if your property hasn't been reassessed for many years and you're pretty low, and maybe you say you have a 70% increase and the average is 50%, your taxes will increase.
Okay.
So that's kind of confusing because of the reassessment. Everyone's like, oh, it's going to, my tax is going to be so much more. But it doesn't necessarily mean that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the timing, you had no control over the timing when the townships and everybody reassessed.
Right,
that, did you?
Right. And this year we had two that reassessed. It was Willow and Ithaca. So I don't know about the other townships in the area.
You've had some community meetings. What's the most common question you get? Is it obviously tax impact?
Tax and the reason. And, you know, the reasons why, there's two major reasons why we're going out, is as of 2025, the state funding has fallen $3,300 per student behind inflation. So if the state would have kept up with inflation for school districts, we wouldn't be here talking about going out for referendum. And another major point is declining enrollment. This is true for most all rural schools. Families are not large nowadays. I remember when I was young, we had families with 8 to 10 kids. And there was a family up the road that had 17 kids. And so now you have, you know, families of, you know, one or two children. And so, of course, that's declining enrollment.
Mm-hmm. I know that when any school goes to referendum, you don't want to use scare tactics. But
no.
But certainly the bottom line is, if something doesn't happen in the next year or two, things are kind of getting dire, aren't they?
Right, they are. And we don't even want to look at that, but we have to. It's an option that we have to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And not to scare anybody, but it's the way it is.
Was there any talk about doing a building referendum at the same time as this, or is that something that's not in the picture right now?
We just wanted, we really needed this operational referendum to pass, and so we just decided to hold off on that, and we'd reevaluate. We have hired upper 90s to look at our buildings to see what is needed for roof and maintenance.
Just upkeep, then?
Upkeep, yes.
Uh-huh. So that's something like down the road, but not in the picture right now. Then.
Right, maybe in a year or so.
Uh-huh. So what about the impact of open enrollment, too? That's important for the district.
Yes. In open enrollment, we are still at like 35% of our students are open enrolled. This year, we lost some, but our open enrollment going out also decreased. So it's better to have more open enrollment in and less going out. So that is kind of coming closer and closer together. So we're having less come in, and the going out's probably stabilized some.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We'll come back to you in a little bit, Lori.
Okay.
Speaking of
Thank
open
you.
Enrollment, it's a good transition with Mr. Herbst. You've brought along some students for a reason this morning, haven't you?
We did. We chose some students who are, I don't want to say social, but they are. They have shown the willingness to speak their minds, and I mean that as a compliment. You know, sometimes you look at a list of kids, and you know this one might give a one-word answer, and that one might give two, but these four speak in sentences. So that's why that's why they were chosen to join us this morning.
But all have open enrolled from elsewhere. Then
they have, like. Yes, uh-huh. And we want them to share their experiences, and we're going to cross our fingers and hope they're good. But no, it's you know when. When you're choosing a school for your child, I don't know if there's a bigger decision that you might make as a parent. My wife and I have three daughters, and choosing a school for them would have been one of the most important decisions that we would ever make. So that's why we brought them. We want them to be honest and share their Ithaca experiences with your audience.
All right. Kaylee Newkirk is first. I think she drew the short straw today. Good morning, Kaylee. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. You're involved in a lot of things. How do you keep it all straight?
Well, I just really enjoy being involved in the community. It's really a lot of fun that Ithaca offers so many opportunities for all the students at the school, despite being so small. But it's really just so much fun to be involved.
You're involved in so many, you had to actually write it down. Tell me some things you're involved in, Kaylee.
I'm involved in volleyball, softball. I'm a class vice president in student council, forensics, FBLA, NHS, FCA, Youth for Change, Sources of Strength, and Choir.
My goodness. So a smaller school, It seems like you get a few more opportunities. Do you feel like that?
Yeah, definitely. We have the opportunity to play in many sports and also be involved in many clubs because everyone understands that we're all in so much. So they look kind of lighten the load and let us be in all these things.
Tell us about volleyball, because you're having a successful fall, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We are at the top of our conference right now. We just beat Kickapoo in a 5-set game. And we're playing Weston tonight. Really looking forward to it and hope we can go for conference this year.
Awesome. That would be, it's been a while for Ithaca Volleyball.
Yeah, it's never happened.
Never happened.
Yeah.
Wow. This could be a historic year then.
Right. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Great. So you feel like the team is kind of gelling as a team?
And yes, I do. Our teamwork has been so wonderful. It's been so awesome to play with all of my teammates. I really enjoy it.
Well, let's talk about some of the other clubs you're in that are active, and you've got homecoming coming up too. Yep. So I'm guessing you're pretty busy right now. Aren't you?
Yes, for student council, we organize the class games, so we're busy trying to figure out what we're doing for those. And then also as a class officer, I'm working on like the themes for the homecoming week and just a bunch of other things that we have to get done before the dance.
Have you determined those themes yet? Can we unveil them here on the morning show? Or
well, the theme of homecoming is Welcome to the Jungle this year.
Oh.
So we're trying to incorporate that into our themes, but we haven't had them decided yet.
Okay, but that's an open, but I mean, you can get a lot of floats and a lot of things,
yes.
Skits and things
yeah.
like that. Do you still do skits?
No, we don't, but...
Okay. You should bring that back.
We should.
What's a high school highlight for you so far? Can you think of anything?
Probably winning regionals in softball this last year. And then also, my freshman year, I had Algebra 1 with the great Mr. Herbst, was my math teacher.
She may have been coerced.
Yeah, I was going to say, she was coached on that answer, I think. You like math?
I'm in pre-calc this year.
Wow.
I do like math, but I do struggle sometimes.
Well, thanks for being honest on that one. I know I did. What about plans for next year, Kaylee? Have you thought about that?
I want to go to college and major in something business. I haven't decided on what college yet or like what specifically, but I think Ithaca has done a good job at preparing me for college.
Are you in any college-bound courses or courses that will give you credits for next year?
Next semester, I'm going to be taking some college classes. Haven't decided which ones yet. And then last year, I also took AP Statistics, which I passed, so I have 3 college credits from that.
Wonderful. There's a start.
Yes.
Huh? Well, thanks for coming and seeing us here
yes,
today,
Yes, thank
Kaylee.
You.
You bet. Izzy Ortiz is next as we swing the microphone around the table. Izzy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. You're a junior this year.
Yes, I am.
How many years have you attended Ithaca?
My whole school. So since I was in 4K, you know, it was a family decision that just worked the best for us to open and roll. And yeah, it's a family tradition, I guess, to go to Ithaca.
Once you've established those roots and friendships, it'd be hard to imagine going somewhere else.
Yes, sure. No, I could never imagine, you know, leaving all of these guys. As much as sometimes they get on my nerves, you know, we are such a tight family and leaving them would be nearly impossible.
But I think you bring up a good point. In any small school, when you're talking, you know, 28, 30 students or whatever it is, you do become like a family, don't you?
Yeah, I know. I've been going to school with all of these guys since we were in 4K. And, you know, we've gone through everything together, you know, family struggles, friendships, and just about everything.
What are some things that you're involved in, some clubs and groups and things
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, so I am class president. I'm in student council, forensics, FBLA, National Honor Society, Youth for Change, Sources, and then band and choir.
Great. Do you have a favorite of all those?
It kind of depends on the day,
yeah.
But I think forensics is definitely one of my favorites, and so is FBLA. It just has brought so many great opportunities for me. And Spanish club, too. This summer, I was able to travel to Costa Rica, and just that was an amazing experience overall. You know, just being in another culture, even if it was just for a short period of time, it was a great learning experience.
Did you have to rely on some things that you learned, you know, in terms of language and everything?
Yes, for sure. And that really helped me build the confidence to speak another language. You know, you kind of get nervous, like, are they going to make fun of me? You know, like, I have an accent. But, you know, just being able to be there and just feel comfortable, and it was a great, great experience.
Tell us about Youth for Change and why you're involved in that.
Yeah, for sure. I am super passionate about, you know, helping young adults and young teens make healthy decisions and just have that community there to help them if they fall.
Are you involved in any sports or athletics?
I am not, but I think everyone else here can cover that for me.
I think so.
Yes, but right. No, definitely a lot of clubs.
Yeah, you're in a lot of things, a lot of extracurriculars, yes. That's for sure. And a junior year, too, so I suppose prom is kind of one of the big things for the junior
yes,
class, right?
Yes, I know a lot of our class meetings have been trying to figure that all out, and you know it's kind of like, oh, gosh, you think about this when you're little and you're like, you know, the big fluffy dresses, and now it's here. Like, we have to plan this and get this all going.
Get it all going, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So what about when your Ithaca days are done? Have you thought about post-high school?
Yes, I have. So actually this year I am taking AP Stats and then dual credit chemistry through UW Oshkosh. And so I'll have 8 college credits there. And then I'm taking a class through UW Platteville that will give me 3 more. So the plan is to get my degree in criminal justice and kind of go from there. But Ithaca has really helped just help me get those basics. And so that way, when I do get into the university, I can focus on my field of study and not have to take all those general classes, you know. And so that has been very beneficial. And Ms. Bevan and Ms. Kirshner have definitely helped get me that information that I need.
Why criminal justice?
You know, I'm very passionate about that, too. You know, growing up, I had a couple family things happen, and, you know, I just really wanted to help fight the fight, you know, of everything. But.
Good deal. Well, as you mentioned, a family, so you've got Kaylee here, but when the senior class graduates, that's kind of an emotional time and bittersweet, right?
Yes, this year will definitely hit us hard, you know, because they've been there with us the whole time, and, you know, I feel like even just since we are in different grades, but you don't think about that. Like, I'm in a lot of the same classes as the seniors, and, you know, it'll be really weird next year where we are the seniors. And so, yeah, that'll definitely be a struggle come June.
Indeed. Do anything special for homecoming?
We are working on getting our float together. You know, that's always a struggle, getting everyone on the same page. But, yeah, I think it'll be a really great fair and homecoming overall.
As long as you don't litter, you know, all that crepe paper and stuff along Highway 58.
Yes.
You're good. Well, thanks for joining us today, Izzy.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
Did a great job as well. Houston Garcia Boland joins us. How are you, Houston?
I'm good. How are you, Phil?
Great. Good to see you.
Yep, good to see you.
A lot of times I see, well, especially in baseball, I see the back of you, you know, when I'm broadcasting from behind the back. So you're the catcher on the baseball team. So what are some other things you're involved in?
I participate in football, basketball, and I'm in forensics, FFA, and class. I'm my class secretary, and I'm a class officer or a representative.
Stay pretty busy then.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about football. The team's off to a good start.
Yeah, we're playing pretty good right now. Hopefully, we can keep it going. Got a game this Friday against Nacida. We don't want to overlook them, but it should be a pretty easy win, hopefully, if we can play how we have been.
Do what you can do, right? Exactly. Yep. So this year, you know, it seems like the team's coming together really well. What do you think the differences is? Good chemistry, it looks like?
Yeah, I think the junior and senior class this year have a good relationship with each other. I mean, we can talk to each other and figure things out better. But last year, at the end of the season, we were playing good football as well, and I think it carried over into this year.
So you school choice into Ithaca?
Yep.
The whole time?
No, I used to go to Weston. Okay. I transferred to Ithaca going into my 7th grade year.
Okay. And your family goes there. I think your mother teaches at Ithaca.
Yep, my mom's a middle school math teacher at Ithaca.
Mm-hmm.
And all my older brothers went to Weston, and they all graduated from Weston.
Okay. Very good. So at Ithaca, you've made some good connections. You've had some highlights. What would a highlight of your high school years be?
Most favorite highlight is probably going to state for baseball my freshman year and winning state.
Yeah. How cool is that?
It's all right. It was pretty cool.
Not very many people can say that. That's
not too
sure.
many.
And starting as a freshman, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What are some other things your clubs are involved in or you're looking forward to this year, Houston?
Well, I'm heavily involved in FFA, and I really enjoy being a part of that club because we do so much with the community and we get to go to so many workshops and meet a bunch of other people and talk to a bunch of leaders in the FFA community.
You think you might want to get into the agriculture field someday, or have you thought about it?
Probably not. Maybe I'll own a couple of animals when I'm older. It's about as far as I'll get into the agricultural department, but I like talking to other people. FFA really helps me meet a bunch of other people, and our FFA advisor, Melissa Sprecher, does a good job.
You get involved in a lot of competitions, don't you? So have they asked you to be in speaking contests or any of those things?
Yep, I do a bunch of speaking. I do discussion, egg discussion, where I compete against a bunch of other people and try and talk. I try and sweet talk the judges pretty much, make them think I'm better than everybody else. But
that's a great life lesson. It's not necessarily what you know. It's how well you come across, like you're confident,
yep.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Pretend like you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right? So as far as homecoming is concerned, do you have anything involved there with the junior class or anything like that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, pretty much. I just, as the secretary, I just write on the computer what everyone else decides. I just write down our ideas and, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you got a vision for the float yet for homecoming?
Yeah, not? But I'm not going to reveal it because Kaylee here's a senior. I don't want her to
steal it. Yeah, I don't blame you. You know how she is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Houston, thanks for coming along with us
today. Thank you.
You bet. We'll see you soon. And Tyler Steinmetz is here among the student representatives. How you doing, Tyler?
I'm doing good. How are you, Phil?
Doing real well. Saw you on the football field Friday night.
Yep. I got in there at the end of the football game because we were running pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. How did it feel to go 5-0 then with the team?
It felt really good. I think this year we have much better connection, and I think our head coaches are doing really good. I think we should, and coming into a new conference like this is pretty special to be 5-0 right now. So we just got to keep focused and keep doing what we're doing.
You were thinking coming into it, too, that's a new league, the Scenic Bluffs, you know, there are going to be some challenges. And I think maybe the team, maybe did you work out a little bit more in the off season as a result, knowing that?
I think we just kept our head down and kept focusing because we knew coming into the Scenic Bluffs, it was going to be a little bit tougher matchups. And I think that just helped us go into the Scenic Bluffs knowing, like, we're the new people here and we just got to keep doing what we're doing and keep winning. I think that really just helped us keep winning these games right now. So,
can you tell me about some other clubs and activities you're involved in at Ithaca?
Yep, I'm in football, basketball, baseball. I'm in FFA. I am in. I really enjoy FFA, like Houston said.
Okay.
I do a lot of stuff in FFA. I do a lot of CDs and LDs. They're basically just help me work on my speaking, and that really helps because then I can come on here and talk to Phil.
There you go. When you're in these FFA competitions, do the subject of farm all tractors, vintage farm all tractors, does that ever come up, Tyler, or no?
No, it's mostly John Deere around where we live, but yeah, I do got to bring up some old farm halls, too, so, yeah.
So what about some other activities? Favorite club that you're involved in other than FFA, then?
It would probably have to be, I did forensics last year. That was really fun. I was in a group with Houston and a few of my other friends, and that really was fun.
So it was a group thing or a play?
Yeah, it was
or
a group interp. So we just went around and we did like a skit pretty much, and we went to section, or we went
districts,
like,
or
yeah, districts, and then we were 1 point away from state, so we didn't make it, but
Maybe this year.
Maybe, yep. Uh-huh.
So as far as classes are concerned, are you looking ahead a couple of years there? Are you looking at some college credits in the next couple of years?
Well, I'm taking a college course at Philbacks right now, every Wednesday night in Richmond Center here. I'm taking an automotive technician class, and that gets me some college credits to go to Southwest Tech. I don't know if I'm going to Southwest Tech yet, but that's probably where I'm leaning towards. So then I already have a few credits of Southwest Tech done.
So the auto mechanics and mechanics in general, that kind of interests you then?
Yeah, it really does. I like doing it.
So you don't know exactly as far as a career opportunity yet or where you'd like to go?
Not a lot. I'm kind of in between a lot of stuff right now, but I don't, probably somewhere in like the automotive, agriculture.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're getting a good start at Ithaca,
yeah,
right?
I am. I really enjoy being at Ithaca. I've been at Ithaca since I was in 4K, and I really just like the atmosphere around Ithaca. I like how you can go up to somebody and know their name. Like, you don't know, like, I know in a lot of other schools, you know, you don't get to see everyone because you're not walking through the hallways or walking on that side of the school. So I think in Ithaca, everyone knows each other, and I think that really helps us have a good connection in the high school and all the way through the elementary, middle school.
Too. Well said. And I think all the teachers, they know most of your names too then.
Yeah. All the teachers have been there for a while, and I think that really helps too, knowing everybody since we were young, and I think that really helps have a stronger connection too.
If you're misbehaving in the hall, they can say, "Tyler, come on," you know?
Yeah.
Right? But they don't do that very often, do they?
They shouldn't.
No. Okay. Mr. Herbst, you brought in a good group of students. Anything that you'd like to quiz of the group here? We've got them around the round table. Anything you'd like to throw? Maybe that I didn't ask him.
Yeah, a couple of things. You know, when each of them gave you the list of things that they're involved in, that's one of the beauties of being in a small school. You know, as you go through life, you learn things about yourself. And I've been in small schools, I've been in large schools. And in some of the larger schools, you have to start to specialize if you want to participate in certain activities. And at a small school like Ithaca, that's not the case. You can be involved in anything and everything that you choose to be. Also, speaking of clubs, I did a little research because Phil Nee is an alumnus of Ithaca Schools, and I have access to his records.
Oh, no.
And he was involved
heavily. I did my time.
Well, yeah. He was involved heavily in former principal Ernie Majeski's after school club. I'm not sure what that was about.
The Purple Chair Gang.
And when Kaylee had talked about the homecoming theme being Welcome to the Jungle, I had to suppress my inner Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses so I could join in and start singing. But no, we brought along this group because I think they gave you a good flavor of what Ithaca is and what it offers and the good experiences that they've had as well as that of their classmates. So we really appreciate them being on this morning.
Yeah, they've done a great job. We'll be back with more on the morning show after these words.
Hi, this is State Representative Tony Kurtz, and I'm honored to serve my neighbors here in rural Wisconsin. Out here, we don't ask for much, just safe streets, food on the table, and a place to call home. That's why I've worked hard to push money out of Madison and back to our communities. I've secured larger investments in our roads, first responders, and hospitals, all while cutting taxes and maintaining a balanced budget. Of course, there's more work to be done. That's why I'm asking for your vote this November. Together, we'll build a better Wisconsin.
Paid for by Kurtz for Assembly.
Welcome back, students and teachers. On behalf of all of Rockwell, we would like to thank everyone who participated in the Back to School Supply Drive, and we're wishing you all a happy and healthy school year. We would also like to extend a thank you to all truck drivers. September 15th through the 21st is National Truck Driver Appreciation Week. Be sure to thank a truck driver for all of their hard work and dedication.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
The Richland Family Prescription Center's primary function is to fill your prescription accurately and to provide added value services to enhance your health. Filling your prescription is only the first step. Understanding your medication and the importance of compliance will greatly benefit your medication outcome. Whether it's a first-time visit or they've seen you before, the Prescription Center's friendly and knowledgeable staff is dedicated to providing you with a quality pharmacy experience, and they have built their reputation by going the extra mile to ensure your satisfaction. The Richland Family Prescription Center, your one-stop source for all of your prescription and healthcare needs. Your complete customer satisfaction is their top priority.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Community First Bank makes switching easy. Our bankers use switch assistance to help you change over direct deposits, loan payments, bill payees, recurring transfers, and much more. Plus, you'll get more from your checking account relationship. Switch today and experience firsthand how Community First Bank, a local community bank, puts you first.
Community First Bank is first for you. CFBank.com. Member FDIC.
Yeah, the
biggest
grape season at Oakwood Fruit Farm. Come pick your own grapes, perfect for jellies, juice, wine, or just to enjoy fresh off the vine. While you're there, browse the selection of apples and bakery treats, and don't forget to grab some fresh apple cider. Oakwood Fruit Farm is your go-to for fall flavors and fun. They're open 9 to 5, 7 days a week, located south of Ithaca on Apple Ridge Road. Just follow the signs and enjoy the harvest.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun. Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family.
Richland County Bank in downtown Richland Center has been a partner in creating opportunities for local people and businesses since 1881. That's a lot of different loans for a lot of different people in a lot of different circumstances, but all decided the same way by local people at your local hometown independent bank, the Richland County Bank. See what a local bank can do for you. Richland County Bank, downtown Richland Center. Member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Welcome back to our morning show time on WRCO Radio. Great to have you along today as we talk about all the great things going on in the Ithaca School District. Mr. Greg Herbst is here again, and we wanted to talk a little bit about the community meetings that you've had so far.
Yeah, so far we've had three of the community meetings. One of those was at Keysville Church at the Lloyd Community Center, and then last night at Ithaca Schools. We do have two more if you would like to attend on Wednesday, October 2nd at 5:45 at the Community Gym on the Ithaca campus. And then on Sunday, October 6th at 11:30 a.m. at the Willow Valley Church Hall.
What's been a common question that you get?
Probably the most common question is, how is this going to affect me? You know, anytime you're looking at going to a referendum, people have probably three questions for sure. One of them is, you know, how did we get to where we are right now? Second one is, have you done anything to reduce the expenditures that you have? Because it's no different than your household budget. If you're falling short, you have to do one of two things, and hopefully two of two things, and that would be to increase your revenue and decrease your expenditures. And so that's been a common question. And of course, the third one, like I said, is, how's this going to impact me?
I think you've mentioned that on previous shows, that you've done things, you've taken steps, you've been proactive leading up to this time, haven't you?
Yes, we have. And so what we've done, and this is certainly not an exhaustive list, but the district combined the district administrator and the middle school, high school principal position, which makes sense, because in a school our size, you can make an argument that you do not need three administrators. And so by doing that, it saved the district $70,216, not only the year that it happened, but every year thereafter. We also reduced our district office staff by one person, and we modified the district's health insurance, which saved taxpayers nearly $42,000. We also changed providers for our property, crime, and liability and workers' comp insurance. And then lastly, and again, not being an exhaustive list, but lastly, what we've done is we've absorbed some teaching positions, and then last spring, the school board showed the courage to make a very difficult decision, and that was to reduce our staff through a reduction in force. And those things became necessary simply because what Lori had mentioned before with the declining enrollment. You know, having a small class size is wonderful. My original educational career, I was a high school math teacher. And I taught in Cedar Falls, Iowa, and my class average was a little more than 30 in a class. And then I came to Ithaca, and I remember walking down the hallway with then-principal Chris Lechner, and I said, well, how many kids are about at class average? He said, oh, like 12. I said, you're kidding me. So it's all relative. You know, if you're used to 12, 20 seems like a lot. But if you're used to 30, 12 seems almost unimaginable. But the interesting thing about class size, even though having smaller class sizes is nice, you would think that smaller class size would lead to better student achievement. However, there is research. There's a gentleman named John Hattie who did a meta-analysis, and what it showed was that smaller class sizes do not necessarily lead to greater student achievement, which seems somewhat counterintuitive. But I guess part of the thing, you know, I've tried to figure out why that might be. And if you have a class size of 20 and you teach a certain way, and then all of a sudden you have a class size of 12, if you don't change the way you teach, then you're probably going to get the same outcome. And so if you have smaller class sizes, you should be able to do some other things with that. Anyway, so class size counterintuitively does not necessarily lead to greater gains in student achievement. So, and it's not like our class sizes are unreasonable by the reductions that we've made. You know, we still probably average around 20 kids in a class, maybe 21. So we're nowhere near the 30 that I referenced when I was a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Which I think it's good. Students less likely to fall through the cracks, right?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I love about small schools is you can walk down the hallway and you can name a student by name and know many of the things that they're involved with and who their peer groups are. One of the things that I really missed when I became a superintendent in previous districts in other states was those 20-second conversations that you would have in passing time. Because you would notice a student and they might be acting a little bit out of character, so you could have a 20-second conversation with them about what's going on in their lives. And because you've established a relationship with them throughout the time you've been with them, they're very candid about their responses to you. And so that's what I've enjoyed about getting back into teaching when I came to Ithaca and being a principal and at Ithaca. And the other thing about our school is the fact that everybody's under one roof. We have three entities by title. So we have the elementary school, the middle school, and the high school, but it's all under the same roof. And one of the things when I was teaching my high school classes at Ithaca, and I said to the kids, I said, I wish I could snap my fingers and all of you would be 5 years old, but only for about 5 minutes, because I don't think I could take much more than that. But I think it'd be, I just think it'd be very satisfying to teach a child in the elementary and be able to be a firsthand witness to their evolution as they go through the elementary, middle school, high school, and all the way to commencement. I just think there's something special about that.
Indeed. When they graduate, they truly do, you know, and they're looking out at all the people that have made a difference in their lives, too.
Right? Absolutely. That's, you know, that's a celebration, but it's also a very somber moment, you know, and one of the things I said last year to the graduating class, because I came to Ithaca in the fall of 2020 to be a high school math teacher. And so my first day of school at Ithaca was their first day of high school at Ithaca. And so every day for the last 4 years, when I would walk through the hallway, I would get to see their beautiful faces. And this fall, for the first time, I looked around and all I could see were memories of those faces. So it's special. You get close to the kids. And then so when it comes time for them to leave, you're happy for them, because obviously we are all authors of our own story and you want them to go on to the next chapters of their lives and fulfill their potential. But that doesn't make it any less difficult when they leave, just like it's difficult when your own children leave the nest.
Is there interaction between the high school and the elementary and middle school kids as well? I mean, do high schoolers go down and read to them and things like
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a program called RISE where students at the high school will go down and assist with the elementary. We also have students who work as teaching assistants down at the elementary. So it truly is one family under one roof. And you know, one of the things I've said at pep assemblies, you know, that these are your little brothers and sisters, because we're very much a family. You know, of course, you have your immediate family and your extended family, but you probably, at least at this stage in their lives, you spend more time with your school family than any of the others. And if you think of it in that regard, that rather than that's just another student, that those are my Ithaca brothers and sisters, and it's my job to support them just like it would be my duty to support my own siblings.
When is your next meeting in the community, Greg, coming
next
up?
Next one's going to be Wednesday, October 2nd at the community gym on the Ithaca campus. We'll start at 5:45 p.m. And what we've done in the other meetings is we've kind of given an overview, trying to answer the questions like I had mentioned earlier, you know, how did we get here and what have we done so far and how's this going to affect me? So we give an overview of that and then we give people an opportunity to ask questions. There have been a couple of board members at the first two meetings, and then last night, of course, the entire board was there to answer questions because it was a special board meeting. So I've been there except for last night. Lori has been present. Kathleen Shane, our elementary principal, who's a familiar face and name in the area. So we just give people a chance to ask questions.
I know that I've talked to some administrators over the last couple of years that think, well, maybe going to referendum the same time as a presidential election, maybe that's not such a good idea. But I think the fact of the matter is, Greg, you're going to have people that come out and vote, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, when obviously we'll respect anybody's vote, but we just hope that when they go into the voting booth that they're informed. And that's the purpose of the community meetings. It's also we're going to be sending out like a newsletter or a flyer to everybody, because not everybody can attend the meetings and not everybody might get their information. We just want to make sure that the information that they receive is factual so that they can make an informed decision. Lori had touched a little bit upon how we got here. We do have a downward trend in enrollment right now. But statistics are somewhat interesting in that if you look at the last 10 years, we do have a downward trend. But if you go back 20 years, there was an upward trend. So where we are now is not too different from where we were 20 years ago. All right. So there are two questions. The obvious one is, why do you have decreasing enrollment right now? But there's also a second question is why did we have increasing enrollment from 2004 to 2014? And that was when Ithaca went to a capital referendum to build the new addition onto the school. And so when you look at the state of Wisconsin and the way that they have funded schools, there are 421 school districts in Wisconsin. And just there are at the time we were gathering some information, so this number may have increased since then. But there are 123 school districts in Wisconsin who are going to have a referendum on the November ballot. Add to that the 86 schools who had a referendum on the ballot back in April, and you're looking at half of the school districts in Wisconsin who are having to ask their taxpayers to pay more to fund their schools because, frankly, the state hasn't kept up their end of the bargain. And the two largest sources of revenue for a school, the first one is the state aid that you get, and the second one is property taxes. And so then you look at, well, why do we have these decreases in enrollment? Well, there are several reasons. Lori touched upon one with the smaller families. Another thing that's a little bit unique to Ithaca is that it's difficult to find a place to live when you're in Ithaca because there aren't, very many homes available. And even if you wanted to build a home, trying to find a parcel of land that you can do that. So that's one of the things where we're very grateful about open enrollment. Because if you were bound simply by the students who lived into your district, given the factors that we've already named, it'd be very difficult to sustain your school. So, and we're very happy with our open enrollment. As Lori had stated, the net, we're at a positive net. If you take the number of students who have open enrolled in and subtract those who have open enrolled out, we are still at a positive net on that difference. But that net has dropped a little bit. And so one of the things that I've done is I have called probably half of the families who have chosen to open enroll their students out, and I'll get to the other half. And one of the things I asked them, I said, I'm not questioning your ability to open enroll your child. That's your right as a parent. I would never question that. But my question is there anything that Ithaca could have done differently, better, which would have enticed you to stay? And in the phone calls that I've made, there has not been a single criticism of Ithaca schools. In fact, one of the comments that a parent said to me, and I'm going to paraphrase, was that this parent has nothing but positive things to say about Ithaca. It's just that their child wanted to try something different. And so that's, in a way, I'm pleased with those answers. Part of me wishes I would get some feedback of things that we could change, but it's very heartwarming when the majority of the answers that you receive are, I have nothing but good things to say about Ithaca. It's just a family decision that we've made. Part of it was what you alluded to before when you were talking to the kids. And that is once you've established friendships in one school, it's very difficult to leave those. So that's been another common response, So if somebody might have relocated into Ithaca, but then right away open enrolls out, well, the reason is they want to go back and be with their friends, not unlike these people. So.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty brave to call those that exit, though, because you don't know what kind of answers you're getting, but you're obviously looking for the answers and things you can do better.
Yeah, because if there's something that we could do better, and so we would certainly do that. One of the things when I was an administrator in Illinois, which does not have open enrollment, And I was also an administrator in Iowa, which has it, but it's very limited in scope with what you can do. And one of the things when I was talking to the faculty and staff in those two districts was, if there was another, since I was high school principal, I'll stick with that. If there was another high school across the street, would parents choose to send their children to us or to the high school across the street? And if there's something that we can do better, then we need to focus our energies on doing better, because the outcomes demand that. I mean, we don't make widgets. We prepare students for whatever comes after high school, whether it be workforce, military, college. We prepare them for that. So we need to do the best that we can every day for those students.
Yeah, the pupil count last Friday, you know, that's always an important day during the school year, isn't it?
It is. It is. And that's the count that you send to the state to let them know how many students are in your school. That's really a fluid number because of the open enrollment in Wisconsin. You know, there's the traditional window, which is February 1st to April 30th. So there's a three-month window. But then in the other 9 months, parents can fill out what's called an alternate open enrollment form. And so in other districts in the states that I've administered, once you set that count in September 15th, it might move a little bit up or down, but it's a pretty solid number. But in Wisconsin, because of the open enrollment being really 12 months, it's a very fluid number.
Lori, you've had a chance to listen to our conversation this morning. Anything that you'd like to add after we've talked with our other members of the studio here?
Well, I'd just like everybody to go out and vote. Hopefully they'll vote yes. And I hope that they get all the important information that they need to make that decision. I'm grateful for these students that came today. I think they're great students, and Ithaca's a good choice for them, as they have stated. And
if people have any questions that are listening of either of you, is it best just to call the school office?
Yes, we do have a number set up so that they can call and leave a message, and then we'll respond to it, or else they can leave a message on our website, and that will be answered.
Okay, that's important, if anybody has any questions from the things we've talked about this morning. So, Greg, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
You know, you had talked a little bit about the referendum with regard to what if it doesn't pass, you know, and because if it doesn't, yes, we can go again in April. But however, there's going to be some unintended consequences, I believe, that go along with that. And, you know, this is where you have to walk a very fine line between being bluntly honest and not causing a mass exodus of some sort, because we have not gone to an operational referendum since 2004. So like Lori said, I hope that points to the frugality that has been exercised within the district. If the referendum did not pass, then there might be some professionals within the district who will polish their resumes and look to apply elsewhere because they're looking for job stability. You know, especially if you're single, obviously you want stability. If you got a spouse and a family, you absolutely must have stability. So that would be an unintended outcome. And the other thing is, you know, the board would have to look at making further reductions. And we've done an awful lot to reduce our expenditures. And so if we have to sharpen the pencil and go back to that, then not that there aren't some things that we can't do, but you might start talking about the different programs that you offer. And that, of course, would have the unintended effect of students would open and roll out. You know, back in my high school days, I played football, basketball, and baseball. And if one of those were going to be reduced, you know, my window to play those is only 4 years, are 4 years wide. So if I'm not going to have those opportunities available to me, then that would be something that I would look to another school, because that's a very finite window with which you can play.
We have to get back at it and get back to educating the community. And Lori, I know you've got a lot of things in the fire. Tell me about your extracurriculars.
My sister Sherry Nelson and her daughter Shelly Maxwell and my daughter Tara and I, we are purchasing the German home on German Lane. And that's that big white home with the cupola on the top on Highway 58. We're going to make that into an Airbnb and then a wedding venue. So, yeah, every night I come home and I change my clothes and go over and work in that, and also on weekends. And thank goodness for our husbands, because Larry and Joe and Eric and Kywin, they've been great help. So we're excited about it, and we would like to be done with the house by Christmas and maybe have an open house.
That would be awesome. Many have driven by it over the years wondering what's it like back
there. You know,
there,
so. It would be my great-great-great-grandpa built it, started it in 1967, and it took him 20 years to build, and they lived in the basement while they built it. And the cupola was to watch the hops workers. They had workers that lived there, and they would be up watching them work, and also to look for Indians.
Ah.
You know, back in the 1800s.
Way back, yeah. Yes. Exactly.
So it's kind of neat, and you can go up there. There's a stairway to go up on top, and the view is magnificent. So we're very excited about it.
You should be. A.D. German, I think, was born there, right?
A.D. German.
Warehouse is named for him?
Warehouse, yep. Had with Frank Lloyd Wright built the warehouse. So that's kind of cool also.
Nice tie-in. Well, good luck with that venture.
Thank you.
Greg?
What is this free time of which you speak?
Free time? I don't know.
I did get a chance to, Lori gave Brooke Hackle and me a tour of the Willows, and we got to go up into the cupola.
Ah.
And I will say that the stairway leading up to there is specifically built for people 5 foot three. So I look like a giraffe.
You're on your knees.
Right? It was a challenge.
Yeah, I bet it was. Well, thanks for coming and seeing us today. And to the students, good luck with all of your endeavors coming up here.
Thank you.
We're going to see you during homecoming week then, so good. Yep. Kaylee, we'll see you on the volleyball court tonight. Then,
yep.
So good luck with that.
Thank you.
You bet. Students joining us here today, including Kaylee Newkirk, Izzy Ortiz, Houston Garcia-Bolin, Tyler Steinmetz, and Superintendent and Principal Greg Herbst, along with Business Manager Lori Pizer of Ithaca Schools here on The Morning Show.
Hi, I'm Joan Balwig. As a mom, grandma, and small business owner, I understand how rising costs are affecting Wisconsin families, whether it's groceries, school supplies, or health care. That's why I fought in Madison to put more money in your pocket and support programs that address rising costs. I voted to cut taxes for the middle class. I fought to provide more health care coverage for postpartum mothers. I worked to address rising child care costs by expanding available tax credits and by creating new child care slots. And I fought to improve access to mental health care and suicide prevention. Because by working together and bringing everyone to the table, we can put more money in your pockets and support programs that reduce costs, improve outcomes, and make life more affordable again. I'm Joan Balwig. I'm a bipartisan consensus builder. I'm running for state senate, and I'd be honored to earn your vote this November. Paid for by the committee to elect Joan Balwig.
Bex recognizes this week's player with heart, Carter Degenhart, from Riverdale High School, for his commitment and passion on the field and within the farming community.
Carter plays football, baseball, and powerlifting. He's involved in FFA, ag mechanics, and takes part in the state tractor driving contest at Farm Tech Days.
You have to back through a lane and then drive through it and back it into a shed. There's another one where you have a four-wheel wagon, you got to pull it out of one shed and back it into another shed. And there's another part where you inspect a tractor to make sure everything's correct on it.
Carter does a lot of volunteer work, helping raise money for a number of organizations, including Blue River Fire and Rescue events. He helps his father and uncle on the farm, and for him, agriculture is a way of life.
Because the farmer doesn't get to decide if the cattle need to eat or not. They have to get up and feed the cattle every morning, and even if you're not a farmer, you can be involved in agriculture through just going to the grocery store and buying, whether it's meat or vegetables or something.
At Bex, we are and will remain farmers at heart.
Try the new $6 meal deal from Dunkin'. It's a medium hot or iced coffee and a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich and a side of hash browns for $6. You know Dunkin' coffee, it's always made just how you like. The bacon, egg, and cheese is the most toasty and delicious, and crispy golden hash browns are a must. So they're in a new $6 meal deal too. Take advantage of this offer while it lasts. Excludes espresso and cold brew beverages. Offer valid on bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast sandwiches only. Excludes seasoned bacon. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Exclusions and terms apply.
The Richland Cattle Center would like to thank its many sellers and buyers for their continued support. This Wednesday sale at the Richland Cattle Center at Ithaca begins at 11:30. This auction will include a quality run of recently fresh cows and two-year-old heifers, milking and bred cows, open heifers of all ages, plus a breeding age bull. For up-to-date listings, visit stadieauction.com. And don't miss the Richland Cattle Center sale at Ithaca every Wednesday morning, starting at 11:30.
Kamala Harris on police.
It is outdated, it is wrong-headed thinking to think that the only way you're going to get communities to be safe is to put more police officers on the street.
Communities safer without police? Oh, but there's more.
For far too long, the status quo thinking has been to believe that by putting more police on the street, you're going to have more safety. And that's just wrong.
Catch that? Kamala Harris is a defund the police Democrat. And Rebecca Cook, she fits right in. She's made a career out of it. A professional political operative trusted to elect anti-law enforcement politicians across the country. Rebecca Cook even led a dark money group that supported Mandela Barnes and his defund the police agenda. That's why the Liberal Democrats handpicked her. Now Cook is bankrolled by the liberal elite.